Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Psalm 121. So listen for the word of God. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time on and forevermore. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. Amen. Somehow I feel a need to come out here today. There's an elephant in the room. As I announced earlier, I announced my retirement from ministry, and I do that with very mixed feelings. And I thought about, what does one say on the first Sunday after they announce that? The thing that has occurred to me, anyway, was, what's going to happen? Kind of summarized it. Now what? He announced his retirement. Now what? What do I do? And I thought about, maybe you have that same question. He announced his retirement. Now what? For the church or for me? And so I thought maybe, just maybe, we'd think about that a little bit. Now what? What goes on in this new journey that I launched us on here? You know, the now what question puts us in the same category as the people of the church in Thessalonica. If we read Paul's first letter to the Thessalonians, we see that there's a now what question going on in there. Just a little background. Paul started the church in Thessalonica. He was on his missionary journey, started the church. He was forced to leave a little sooner than he wanted to because there were groups of people out to get him. So the members of that church shepherded him out of town. And so you get the feeling he didn't get the chance to teach them. One of the questions that they were wrestling with, that apparently they didn't get enough of an answer with, is when is Jesus going to come again? You know, we call that the second coming, the day of the Lord. And back in the early church, that was a big topic of conversation because they believed that Jesus was going to come soon. And so they had really wrestling with a question of, well, when is it going to happen? And what do we do in the meantime? And so Timothy, one of Paul's apprentices, who was in the church in Thessalonica, he just goes to Paul, travels to where Paul was, and shares this news and says, do you have a word that you could share with them? Now, Paul, I think he wanted to go back and visit the church, but he couldn't do that at that time, so he wrote a letter. It turned out to be the very first New Testament writing. The First Thessalonians, as we know it as. The very first letter. And while he expressed his appreciation and love for that church, he also shared an answer to their question. When is Christ coming again? And his answer was, I don't know. In fact, he says, nobody can know. because that is something only God knows. And so you think about that, and they get this answer, nobody knows, and I think their question would be just like ours, now what? Now what? What am I supposed to do if Jesus isn't coming tomorrow, or the next day, or the next day? Or maybe he will, I don't know. I don't know. So he says, what do we do? Now what? And Paul, seemingly anticipating this question, answers. He answers the now what question. Hear what he wrote here in the fifth chapter of 1 Thessalonians. But we appeal to you, brothers and sisters, to respect those who labor among you and have charge of you in the Lord and admonish you. Esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves, and we urge you, beloved, to admonish the idlers, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with all of them. See that none of you repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. Give thanks to all, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So here is the answer to the now what question. Now what? The question comes out, and I think that's an answer to the question not only for the Thessalonians, but for the Westerville First Presbyterians. Now what? If we go through that listing of what the church is about, we might get a hint of what it were to be about in this time. Paul doesn't give specific instructions as much as point us in a general direction. And so in that sense, it may be particularly appropriate for us. What is the general direction we have? He begins by saying, but we appeal to you, brothers and sisters, to respect those who labor among you and have charge of you in the Lord and admonish you. Esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Now, for Paul, he might have been talking about the pastors of that church, people like Timothy who are working in that church. I don't know if the early church had a staff, but that might be it. But I read that and thought, well, I thought that what it is meant for me is that now, in the coming year or more, the presbytery is going to be at work among us. One of the wonderful features of the Presbyterian system is that at times of transition, the presbytery is there to help guide a church through. It has been 26 years since this church has gone through it. Some of you may have gone through it at another church, but some of you come from denominations that have a whole different way of doing it. But you're going to learn the Presbyterian way, whether you like it or not. And people from the presbytery will come here and help work with the appropriate people in our church to guide through the transition to new pastoral leadership. And so I read these words of Paul and say, appeal to you, brothers and sisters, respect those who labor among you. Now, those people that are going to be laboring among you in the next year and a half are people from the presbytery. And I don't know what you think of the presbytery, but I hope you will treat them and respect their labor among you, okay? Because they are good people, and they will lead you through this. Then Paul says, be at peace among yourselves. First, and thought of it personally, be at peace within yourself, maybe, but be at peace among yourself. Be at peace, relax, okay? Just relax. This process will take a while. As you notice, I'm not even retiring till June, okay? When's he gonna leave? Many of you don't know this, but I came from a church where the senior pastor retired while I was there, and he took a whole year. He took a whole year from when he announced it to when he retired. Relax. Relax. Be at peace amongst yourselves. be at peace with each other. Okay? It will be a time of transition, and we all know transitions are not easy in any organization. And the church is along with that. Things are changing, and they may or may not change as you'd like. But be at peace amongst yourselves and work those things out. And then Paul says, and we urge you, beloved, to admonish idlers, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, and be patient with all of them. Be impatient, be patient and encourage each other through the process. Some will go with the flow. Some will adopt a wait and see attitude. Some will take an opportunity to try something else. Some will take charge. But for all, ask that you encourage each other. Encourage each other. Be patient with each other. Help each other. Be the church in this process. And then Paul writes, see that none of you repays evil with evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to all. There's no such thing as a transition process that doesn't have some sort of conflict in it. And so Paul's advice, that see that none of you repays evil for evil, is one I hope you will all take to heart. All those conflicts will happen after I leave, of course, right? More importantly, focus on what good we can do. Okay? Do good to one another and to all. Do good to one another and to all. That's Paul saying the work of the church continues whatever is happening in the administration of the church. We are still called to do good works to one another and out in the community and out in the world. And that does not stop whether I'm standing up here or someone else is standing up here. Do good to all. And then Paul writes, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. Methodist minister Lee Bowman calls this the three-legged stool of faith. And maybe it is. For one of those legs of the stool, rejoice always. Find joy in this whole journey. You know, it's not always easy to find joy in life. But if we ask ourselves where God is in this process, where God is and what's going on in your life, then I think we can begin to see the joy. For no matter what is happening in this transition or in your individual lives, the struggles you may be having, God is present with you. Maybe you can't always see it. Maybe you don't always know that God is there. But that's what our faith tells us, God is there. And so the invitation from Paul is to take a moment and see if we can't see where God is in that process that you're going through, whether it's this church or something else, and rejoice in that. Rejoice always. And then the second leg of that stool is pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. You know, how many remember the old TV show, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Maybe it's still on. I don't know. I don't watch enough TV to see. But the old Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? Remember, somebody has to answer questions. And each time they answer another question, they get more money, right? And if they can't answer a question, you get a lifeline, right? I want you to, the prayer is kind of like that. It's our lifeline to God. When we have questions in life, struggles in life, joys in life, we can throw out our lifeline to God and share those with God. Pray without ceasing. I hope that during this 9 months of transition that I head out of here and the whatever amount of time it takes to find a new pastor here, I hope that you all will pray without ceasing for me, for the church, for the people, the presbytery that come, and especially for the new pastor who comes. Pray without ceasing for them. Give them a lifeline. And give thanks in all, Paul says, is that third leg. Give thanks to God. I don't know if we do that often enough, do we? Give thanks to God. Give thanks in all circumstances, he says. When this search process gets to be most aggravating, okay, that's when I want you to give thanks. When you get most impatient with someone else in the church, that's when I want you to give thanks for that person. When you're not sure where to turn next, start out by giving thanks and see if that doesn't help you decide where to turn. I'm going to end with the words that Kim read this morning from Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. As we go through this transition time, remember those words. Remember, where does our help come from? Our help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. Amen.